Our guest speaker today is Steve's dad, and I first met Pastor Bailey, the senior, the elder, the I don't know what you'd want to, the real Pastor Bailey is. I met him this morning, and a few things became clear: that Steve developed his wit and sense of humor through his dad, and clearly his good looks from his mom, and. And so, David, I'm going to call you up here. I'm going to pray for you and then let you have at her. Lord God, I thank you for the safe journey that you gave the Baileys up into Canada and then again into Kelowna. And Lord, I pray that you, that your words are coming through David and that the congregation can hear your words through it, through him. And bless him, bless his heart, and bless his family, Lord, and bless us through him. Amen.
Amen. Oh, good morning to you all. It's great to be with you today and with our immense joy that this year was the year that we were meant to come over, and we came over and only to find that Steve was going to be ordained at this particular time. So that was a double joy as far as we were concerned. And now I don't know whether you ever have problems with Steve's accent. I have to apologize. He probably got that from us. His youthful good looks also came from us, you know? But as far as his sense of humor is concerned, I don't know where that came from. But it is great to be here today, and it's great to be part of this gathering. We just thank God for Steve's calling. It's something that we've prayed for all his life. And one day we just hope that he would hear that call and God would appoint him accordingly. And today is that day. Well, when Steve asked me if I would preach today, I haven't preached. Well, I've preached twice in the last 10 years. I actually retired in 2005. The first time I preached since I retired was a funeral. The next time was somebody's induction. So, you know, it's appropriate. The next time is an ordination. So here we are. So if I am a bit rusty, so you will understand. So when Steve asked me, I picked myself up off the floor eventually, and I said, Lord, I don't know what I can preach on. Because I asked Steve, I said, what do you want me to preach on? He said, well, anything you like. The whole Bible, if you like. He said, but you've got to do it in 20 minutes. Well, I thought, well, that's a bit of an impossibility to start off with. Anyway, I prayed about it, and the Lord laid on my heart Ephesians 4. It just suddenly popped into my mind. I thought, well, okay, Lord, I've preached on it a few times in the past. I guess I can preach on it again. And so I began to look at it. And I really felt that, yes, this is what the Lord wants me to speak about. So how do I see the passage? Well, I see it as Paul, as a pastor himself, addressing his beloved children in Ephesus. Whenever Paul wrote to a church, he wrote to them as somebody that he loved dearly, and he wanted the very best for them. He wanted the Father's best for them. Not only for the leaders, but for the whole church. The whole church was important as far as Paul was concerned, and his desire was that they would know and follow the word and the will of Almighty God. So I want to, my prayer for today is that, Steve, you will want to follow the word of God and continue to preach it. We listen to him every week, incidentally, just to make sure that he's keeping on the right lines. But occasionally he foxes us by throwing somebody else in as a visiting preacher. But I want to pray for the whole church today. I pray for all of you. You, as far as I'm concerned, you are all very unique. Eric said it earlier, didn't he? We're all absolutely unique, but you're all part of the church of Jesus Christ. Not one of you does not belong to the church of Jesus Christ. If you've given your life to him, then you are his. You belong to him. So where do we begin? Well, I want to begin where Paul actually begins in verse 2 particularly. He says, let me read the first two verses. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling, of the calling you have received. But then he says, be completely humble. Be completely humble. Now, that is quite a challenge. I don't know about you, but it is quite a challenge. And I thought to myself, well, you know, why is Paul starting there? But Paul was a pastor. And Paul was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He wanted to do the Father's will in all things. He was inspired by the Lord himself. All his teaching came directly from Jesus. This was his claim to be an apostle because he got his teaching directly from Jesus. And he was anointed and wanted the very best for his people. So he says, well, you've got to start at the very beginning. And the very beginning is being completely humble. Now, I wondered, well, you know, is Paul just being provocative? Well, the Word of God is provocative, whether we like it or not. It provokes us into thinking about what we believe, why we believe it, and how God wants us to apply what his Word says to us. But it is, I believe, an essential element in the Church of Jesus Christ to be a people who are humble. Jesus himself said, and Jesus was the Son of God, nobody greater than him, never has been, never will be. He was the Son of God, and yet he said, I am among you as one who serves. He was the one who knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. That's humility. That was the lowest of the low jobs for anybody to do. It was done by the lowest servant of all. And yet Jesus did it. He said, look, he says, I've done this for you. You ought to do it for one another. So why does Paul start there? Well, he starts there because he's telling his readers then and his readers now, you are the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who was humble, who did humble himself. And in 1 Corinthians 6, he reminds us, he says, look, you are no longer your own. You were bought with a price. And we've just celebrated that price, haven't we? Good Friday was the day that we remembered that Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice for us all. And Jesus encourages all to lay down our lives for him and for each other. And in Philippians 2, Paul also reminds us about the nature of Jesus. He says, who being in very nature God, he was God. He never ceased to be God, but he humbled himself. He humbled himself, he made himself nothing, and he took on the nature of the servant. And he became obedient. Obedient even unto death, and even unto death on a cross. Now that was the worst death of all. Reserved only for the worst of criminals. And here was Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who never deserved anything of the sort, and yet he humbled himself and was willing to allow himself to be nailed to that cross. Why? Because he loves you and me. He loves us dearly, and he wants the very best for us. We are to be like Jesus. That, I believe, is what the Holy Spirit is doing. We all need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit on a daily basis because Paul again reminds us that the work of the Holy Spirit is to make us more like Jesus. He says, you are being changed from one degree of glory to another. And he goes on to say that one day we'll be like him. That doesn't mean to say we're all going to be clones of Jesus in the sense that we all look like him. We're all going to retain our unique qualities and characteristics, but we are going to take on those same characteristics that Jesus had, the same qualities that Jesus had, when we are going to be like him in that we can be in his eternal presence. So Paul says, be completely humble, submit entirely to the will and the purpose and the plan and the strategy that Jesus has for you as individuals, but also for you as a church. What you're about as the church of Jesus Christ in this place, in this area of Kelowna, is what God wants to do through you. He's wanting to do great things through you. And I've no doubt that he will. So where does Paul go next? Well, in verse 3, he says, be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul has great precedence here when he talks about the unity of the Spirit, because this was something that Jesus prayed for. In John 17, we read where Jesus prayed for himself. He prayed for his immediate disciples. And then he went on to pray. Who did he pray for next? He prayed for all of us. All of those who will come to believe in the course of time. Jesus prayed for us that we would be in complete unity. In Psalm 133, it tells us that when the brethren and the brothers and sisters, that is, dwell together in perfect unity, then the Lord, what does he do? He commands the blessing. Now, I don't know about you. I like a bit of blessing. I like what God's got for me. I want him to bless me. I pray every day that he will bless us. He will bless the whole family. He will bless the church. But he can only do that when we are in tune with him. When we are in that position of unity and oneness with each other. Only the Holy Spirit can actually accomplish that. We can't change ourselves. I wish I could change myself sometimes. There's many things in my life that I think, well, I just don't want to do them. I'm a bit like Paul when he says, you know, what I want to do, he says, I find myself doing just the opposite. And he says, well, when I don't want to do something, that's the very thing that I go on and do. I don't want to do it. There are many times that I struggle with things. And I just wish I could change myself, but I can't. But God can. My God is greater than whatever problems I face. And he is able to change me. Paul says of the Holy Spirit, he says, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can search the mind and the heart of Almighty God and bring his perfect will to us. He's the only one who can reveal what's on God's heart for us as individuals and his church. Brothers and sisters, we need everything the Holy Spirit can bring to us from the Father. Have you ever wondered how Jesus knew what to do each day and where he was to go each day and what the plans were? I wondered that myself at one time, and then I thought, well, it's pretty obvious. Every single morning he got up before it was light, while it was still dark, and he went into a quiet place. And I've no doubt that every single day Jesus prayed something along the same lines. Father, what are we doing today? Father, where are we going today? Father, what do you want for me today? Who am I going to see? What do you want me to do when I see them? There was one day when the father said to him, look, son, he says, what I want you to do is get into a boat, go to the other side of the lake, and there you'll find a bloke that's full of demons. He said, I want you to deliver him, then go back again. Where did that come from? It came from his father. That's what his father said. He says, oh, I want that man. He says, I love that man. I want him in the kingdom. So Jesus went over to the other side of the lake. He met this guy with, well, thousands of demons in him. And what did he do? He delivered him. He set him free. Then he got into the boat and went back the other side. You think, well, why? Surely he could have done something else while he was over. No, that wasn't the Father's plan. The Father's plan was for that one man. And Jesus did it. And then Jesus went on to where the Father had told him to go next. Prayer is absolutely essential. It's essential for us as individuals. It's essential for us as a church. We need to be in that place of unity. And we can only be in that place of unity when we come together in that place where we agree. And Jesus said, what you agree on earth will be done for you in heaven. We need to be in that place of agreement. So in Ephesians 6, Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Individually, corporately. Let the Holy Spirit guide you into the Father's presence, into the Father's heart. Listen to what he says and allow him to inspire you, to guide you, to direct you, to inform you. We need to know what God's will is for us. You need to know what God's will is for you as the Church of Jesus Christ in this part of Kelowna. You need to know it. How can you do it if you don't know it? Ask him, seek him, and you will find him. He says, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. When our family was growing up, I would love to tell you this morning that they were perfect, that they were compliant, and that were submissive. And Steve, I have to ask you this morning. What part of you must be in by 10 p.m. did you not understand? I hope he's more compliant these days. So when... Sorry about that. I knew I'd got to get a dig in somewhere.
Remember, I've got 2 weeks to go after this.
Oh, yes, there is that, yes. You've got to get your own back then. I'm going to be ill those weeks. So where does Paul go next? He goes on to say, and it's not a particular verse, except that it's verses 11 to 16. You can read them yourself. You've seen them on the screen. And he's basically saying, fulfill your calling. Statistics show us that 80% of the work in most churches is done by 20% of the people. That's not a good use of resources, is it? Somebody somewhere is not pulling their weight. When Jesus wrote to the church in Ephesus, you can read it in Revelation chapter 2. When Jesus wrote to that church, he said, you have lost your first love. That's something that all of us from time to time need to look at. Have we still got that first love? Is that love for Jesus, that desire for Jesus, that desire to serve and honor and please him still burning in our hearts? If it isn't, we need to rekindle it, says Jesus. Rekindle it and let it burn afresh so that we can do his will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That is what the world needs today. Whether the world knows it or not, they need the Church of Jesus Christ. Whether Kelowna knows it or not, they need the Church of Jesus Christ. They can't change unless somebody is telling them. And who's going to tell them if we don't tell them? So what does Paul say? It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Do we see that as a get-out clause? A lot of people do, you know. I'm okay. I'm not the apostle. I'm not the pastor. I'm not the teacher. I'm not the evangelist. None of those roles are mine. I don't know whether you notice, actually, but between verses 11 and 12, there's no, what we would call in England, a full stop, or think over here, you call it a period. There's nothing there. He says, to prepare God's people for works of service. Steve, I think he's your pastor already, actually, but Steve is going to be your pastor. And he's going to be your teacher. He may have other gifts. I don't know. The Lord knows what gifts he wants Steve to have and to use. But I want to urge you, Steve, to be the very best pastor that you can possibly be, the best teacher that you can possibly be. Not the best pastor and the best teacher that you can make yourself, but the best pastor and the best teacher that God can make him. And I want to pray this morning, I want to urge you as the church in this place to be the best church, not again what anybody, any leader wants you to be, but what God wants you to be. I want you to be the best church that could possibly be in this corner of God's work. I want you to be a church that is on fire for the Lord. Father is relying on you. Before I became a pastor, I was an engineer. And we built machines. We built loads of different sorts of machines, but the one particular sort of machine that we built was to cut the roadways in coal mines. Unfortunately, the coal mines closed, and so the work dried up. But whilst we were making them, they were good machines. They were really good machines. And each one of those machines had thousands and thousands of parts in it. And every single part that we built into those machines was absolutely essential. And if any one single part, maybe just the tiniest little nut and bolt that broke, that whole machine would grind to a halt. Because every part of that machine was absolutely essential for it to work as it was meant to work. Do you see where I'm going with this? Isn't that what Paul is saying in this passage? He says, every single one of you is essential. Not one of you is surplus to requirements. You all need each other. Jesus needs you all to be working together as a consistent whole. You are the body of Christ only as each part is doing its work. Now, if you've got a poorly leg or something like that, or your leg's dropped off, then you're not as good as you were before. You missed that leg. Well, if this body of Christ is not working as it was meant to work, then you're not going to function as Jesus intended. So in conclusion, I want to say this morning, I care about you, Steve. I care about you as an individual. I care about you as a family. We pray for you every single day. But I want to tell all of you this morning, we care about you as well. We care about you as the church. We care about Kelowna. We pray for Kelowna and we pray for you as the church in this place every single day. And we will continue to do so. I promise you, we will continue to pray for you. You're not going to be on your own. We're going to be praying. The other side of the pond is not out of the reach of Almighty God. It's a long way away and it takes us a long time to come over, but it doesn't take God that long. He can come over in an instant. And he does so. I want you together to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. And as I said a little while ago in Ephesians, when Jesus wrote to the church, he says, you've lost your first love. I want to encourage us all this morning, myself included, let's examine ourselves and see if we've allowed anything to slip. And if we've allowed anything to slip, let's get back in gear. Let's get back into the will and purpose of Almighty God. We need to know his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we can only do that as we spend time in his presence. I'm confident, I'm absolutely confident in the days, the months, the weeks, the years that lie ahead. Over the other side of the water, we're going to hear good reports of what God is doing in this place. Because you are going to move mountains. Not you personally, of course, but God through you. Our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, I can imagine quite well, actually. I'm quite good at imagining things. But my God is able to do even greater things than I can possibly imagine. And I'm confident that with your cooperation, he's going to be doing great things. Amen. Let's just pray, actually. And as our prayer today, I'm going to use some very familiar words. You probably sang it sometime over the Easter period. And it's the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And it's just the final verse from that that I want to use as a prayer this morning. So let's pray. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Amen.